Before we get started, before any of this starts, I'd like to remind you that you can experience an ad-free version of this by clicking the link in the description that says plus.acast.com/s/radiofreecatholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Exurgat Deus discipentur inimici eius, sed fugiancio derunt eum a facie eius. Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered, and let all those who hate him flee from before his face. In case you hadn't noticed, the world is still headed in what seems to be a very catastrophic direction. We've had the last 3 years of massive revelations of huge amounts of government corruption, devastatingly evil things going on in the church. And it just seems like everything is stepping forth further and further and further, not really stopping. And I kind of wanted to cover kind of a synopsis of what I expect from the 3 days of darkness, the great chastisement, the warning, the enlightenment of conscience, and basically the sum total of everything that seems to be approaching. Over the last several years, in large part thanks to Dr. Anthony Stein, and then later for many others, but it was Dr. Stein who actually got me started on it, looking into Marian apparitions and the warnings about end times. And I'm not going to say the end times, because I'm not convinced that the end times are necessarily the same as what was being prophesied about by Our Lady in all of the myriad of apparitions from all the way back to the 1500s up until very, very recently. The one that seemed to be repetitive, one of the prophecies that seemed to be an over and over again thing, was the 3 days of darkness. Not necessarily Fatima, but Marie-Julie Jehenny, the Breton stigmatist, Anna Maria Taigi, I think it's Elizabeth Nori Mora, many. Like the theme of 3 days of darkness is a lot. And I'm actually trying to pull this out of my head from the darkness of the, my clouded mind as I'm recording this. So I do apologize that I'm not going to be as accurate with the seers, the mystics specifically. And because I've been studying this broad scope, my brain has decided to put together the similarities and use the differences to kind of weave together a whole picture. So I'm not going to reference specific visions so much as I'm going to synopsize what I think is going on with the whole thing. And the most important part of the message is we're expecting fire to fall from the sky like nuclear fire. We're expecting war like nuclear war and armies marching into battle. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'm a modern-day warfighter. I know what full-spectrum total warfare looks like. And there are very few bullets involved. There can be. There are armies. You know, obviously, Russia and Ukraine are engaged in a war. Hamas and Israel are engaged in a war. And that's, you know, cool, whatever. Got it. There are bullets fighting in those particular cases. But if you think that's the end of war, you are dreadfully mistaken. And clearly, you have never done combat with the devil. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. Let's get started with a prayer. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Sancta Michael Arcangelo, defende nos in proelio. Contra iniquitiam et insidias diaboli est praesidium. Imperatili Deus supplices de precamur, tu che princeps militae calestis, Satana maliosque spiritus malignosque ad perditionem animarum, pervegantur in mundo divina virtute in infernum netrule. Amen. Cor Iesu sacratissimum, miserere nobis, mater dolorosa, ora pro nobis. All of God's holy mystics, all his angels, all his saints, pray for us. Domine, ostende facem tuum et salvi erimus. Ave Maria Purissima, Immaculata Conceptio est. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Now, I've done a decent amount of study. I've not done nearly as much study as, Xavier Reyes Herral, the author of the book Revelations, Hidden Secret Messages and Prophecies of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, Xavier is an excellent writer. He has managed to put together the most comprehensive book of Marian apparitions and Marian prophecies I think I have ever seen anywhere at any time. And whether or not you actually believe the individual prophecies, it is an article of faith that we do believe there is such a thing as prophecy. And it's not about getting involved in the intricacies. And there are a few things that I kind of want to point out that I've mentioned in previous podcasts, but I think I'm going to actually maybe expand them a little bit here. For example, The Prophecy of the 3 Days of Darkness by Marie-Julie Janney. During those 3 days, the visionary expresses that, you know, the sky will be darkened, the sun won't give his light, the sun and the moon will be turned to blood, demons will reign in the air, pestilence, and all of that. During that time, we must stay home, close the windows, light a candle. A blessed candle of the purest beeswax. And it doesn't matter if you have the blessed candle of the purest beeswax in the home of the sinner, it will not produce light for anyone who's in a state of mortal sin. Now, there is a material meaning to this, but perhaps we should take a cue from Pope Paul VI, who said, in the aftermath of the Second Vatican Council, by some fissure, the smoke of Satan has entered the church. Now, this is kind of important because, depending on how you feel about Pope Paul VI, you may believe that he's a saint, you may not. I'm not going to reference one direction or the other. Pope John the 23rd and Pope Paul VI opened the windows of the church to the world to let some fresh air in. Now, that is a paraphrasing of their direct statements about what the Second Vatican Council is. It was the church throwing open the windows. Now, ostensibly, it was to let the light of the church shine out of the windows, but it also had the side effect of letting stuff in from the world. You know, that whole fresh air thing. You throw open the windows of your house when you want to let the fresh air in, in spring when you're doing spring cleaning. You get all that stale winter air because you had the doors closed and the windows closed and it was cold, and you open the windows to cycle that old air out and let fresh air in. Okay, that is the metaphor. In all of its glory, let's go through it layer by layer. When you throw open the windows of the church, when you throw open the windows of your home, you're letting the air from the world outside into your home. Why do you close the windows and draw the curtains during the 3 days of darkness? Because all of that pestilence in the world, you don't want in your home. You don't want the demons that are just running amok in your home. So you close the doors, you close the windows, you draw the curtains, you block out the rest of the world, and you pray in the light of the blessed candle of the purest beeswax. Now, I've covered the window part of it. Let's go to the candle of purest beeswax. Why beeswax? Well, it's not because soy and paraffin are that much worse for candles. It's because soy and paraffin lack the spiritual meaning of beeswax. Beeswax, bees, within the church, bees are understood to be diligent workers. They work. It's all working for the greater good of for the greater good. We'll just go with for the greater good, for the common good. And the wax that they use to build their home all kind of carries in all of that spiritual meaning. So what does it mean to have pure beeswax? It is the purest offering of labor. You could say that pure beeswax are the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Pure beeswax would be done with the most charity and justice, with maximum charity, maximum justice, for the sake of God. So to light your home with the with candles of the purest beeswax is to light your home with the efforts of charity, both corporal and spiritual works. Candles, of course, you light a candle, you don't put it under a basket, but you set it up in the high place so that it shines its light throughout the house. These are the metaphors that are kind of being interwoven here. Yes, is it a good idea to maybe have some blessed candles? Absolutely. That's why we have Candlemas. It's kind of the whole thing. It's why, you know, the Feast of St. Blaise, they do the thing with the candles on the throat. I mean, that's kind of a thing. It's sort of important. These things have physical and metaphysical meanings. These efforts, these works are done with devotion. They all carry with them spiritual graces. So, Marie-Julie Jehenny says that it's going to be necessary to light your home, and it only takes a single candle. A single candle will burn for the whole time. Think about that. One candle burns for 3 days. You don't need a giant candle. You can use a tiny candle. In point of fact, actually, the way it comes out, if you have a little tea light of pure beeswax, and you light that little candle, that little blessed candle, even though those things only last for 2 hours, typically, 2 to 4 hours, it says that that one tiny little candle will burn for the full time. What does that mean? That means that the very tiniest effort done with devotion will be sufficient to carry you through. Yes, it talks about a miraculous candle, of course. And to be sure, I'm not discounting a physical, temporal chastisement of 3 days of darkness. That may happen as kind of a, hey, we tried to tell you, hey, this is the way it's going to go. That may in fact happen, and I think it's pretty likely. But one of the things I noticed is that when the Blessed Mother was speaking literally, in all of her apparitions, she would say, literally, thus and so. And when she was speaking figuratively, when she was speaking by metaphor, the light beyond, you could say, metaphor, literally the word metaphor, beyond, light, the light beyond, metaphor. But when she was speaking in metaphor, when she was speaking in spiritual terms, when she was speaking in parable, if you prefer the word parable, it was also very clear, very specific. There were meanings that had to, excuse me, there were meanings that had to be explained. Okay, so, was she speaking literally? Was our Lord speaking literally, or was he speaking in parable? Well, fun fact, both of those things can be true. Yes, he could be speaking both literally and in metaphor. And in fact, actually, in speaking literally, these things will happen thus and so in a temporal sign of the times. You can also say that these things are always happening thus and so in a metaphysical timeline. Meaning that that which is true in a literal sense is also always going to be true in its metaphorical and metaphysical sense. So, yes, there may be 3 days of pitch black darkness. Got it. Not my concern. Why? Because if there is a temporal 3 days of darkness, I honestly won't care. It'll suck. The description in the chastisement is crazy. The problem is that for me, there is a very high likelihood that when this 3 days of darkness begins, I won't be home. I'll probably be driving. Or I'll be out at work. I might even be at church, God willing. But I could be out at Burger King. Who knows? And this is why I'm not worried about the temporal 3 days of darkness, because the prophecy operates, if you're reading it from the most literal sense, says that if you're not at home, you're boned. And in America, I don't know if you've noticed, but in these United States, people travel a lot. And I most certainly am not going to travel with the entire kit in my car so that I could draw curtains across the windows in my car, park on the side of the road during the 3 days of darkness. Unless, and this was left out in the prophecies, unless by some interesting means during those 3 days, I'm not going to have to stick my butt out the window and poop. Do you see why I'm not overly concerned about a literal sense of the 3 days of darkness? Now, to be sure, if I wake up one morning and it's pitch black outside and I look at the clock and it's like 9 o'clock in the morning and there should be sunlight and there is none, to be sure, I'm not leaving. But since that's very since that is honestly less likely to be the case, it is, based on what I understand from the timeline, supposed to be a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Well, if the 3 days of darkness starts at 8:30 a.m. in Europe, then maybe I'll luck out and I'll not go to work. But if they start at noon or 3 p.m., or any other time, or 8:30 p.m., I think it was supposed to start at 8:30 p.m., 8:30 in the evening, according to one of the prophecies. If that is in fact the case, and it starts at 8:30 p.m. in Europe, love, I'll just be coming home from work. Literally, just be coming home from work. Because 8:30 p.m. in Europe, I believe my time, if I'm really unlucky, it'll be about 2:30 in the afternoon on a Thursday. Why am I spending so much time on this? Because if the 3 days of darkness pops off verbatim in the most literal, physical, temporal sense, I'll be at work. and I won't be going home. So why am I going to worry about it? Why am I going to worry about it being literal, physical? And to be sure, by the way, for those of you who don't know, I'm actually pulling 8:30 in the evening as the prophesied time from a European location, which should be approximately 2:30, maybe 1:30 in the afternoon, my time, depending on whether or not daylight savings time is a thing. Does that make sense? So if it pops off at 8:30 at night on a Thursday in Europe, and you're in the United States, you might be on your way home from work on the East Coast, and you might be just going to lunch on the West Coast on a Thursday.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now, that basically means you probably shouldn't worry. If it comes exactly thus, then it comes. I'm not going to carry food and water. I am going to have my miraculous medal on me, but I'm not going to carry food and water sufficient for 3 days to hunker down at work. For starters, I gotta be honest with you, I don't think my job site has the spiritual protection against the diabolical that I would like it to have for us to not be swept completely off the map. Just from a practical, pragmatic standpoint. Granted, I'm very heavily armed in a spiritual manner, so that, you know, maybe I could stand a chance. Maybe I could make it home. Maybe. Except it says, don't look out the windows, don't open the doors. Well, if I'm going to make it home, I'm going to have to do exactly that. And if I'm going to stay at work, well, at least you can't hardly see nothing through the windows. I work in a hangar. The windows are high. And probably worst of all, I work at an airplane hangar. and we don't light candles around airplanes. That's how you make things go boom. So, clearly, not in a position to worry about it. Like, legitimately, not in a position to worry about it. That is the most literal sense. And it's not to be smug or flippant about it. I'm just looking at it going, hey, if these things actually come out to be true, and it's exactly these following in this particular timeline, then I'm boned. The people around me are boned. I think it would be good for some of them to actually see some of that and maybe freak a few of them out and get them to start acting right. That'd be great. But that's in the sort of removed from the circumstance sort of thing. I don't know that I would say the same thing if I was in the room as my friends, my coworkers, my supervisor, my bosses were suddenly being torn asunder by demons. Really, like, I'm not feeling that. I don't know that that's where I would want to be. So why don't you evangelize? Well, that's another rabbit hole. We'll get into that some other time if I get the opportunity. Let's just say I'm working on it. Now, the more imperative interpretation of the 3 days of darkness would go something like this. There is a catastrophe that would happen that would cause the whole church around the world to stop celebrating Holy Mass, except in tiny pockets of locations. Now, for those of you who recall, this happened 3 years ago. And in the aftermath of that event, we have all watched as everything around the world has uniformly headed in the same direction, as demons have just sort of poked their heads out everywhere. You see them on TikTok, and we're not talking literally demons. The devil himself doesn't show his face on TikTok because the devil himself doesn't physically actually have a face. What he does have is a bunch of people who follow him who have sort of changed their visage into something more diabolical looking rather than human. This is where you get some of it's the transgender stuff, some of it's the heavy makeup stuff, the drag queen stuff, all of the above. All of that stuff is diabolical. And there's been a rampant increase of that where it's almost as though you're surrounded. I'll get to that in just a second. That did just kind of trigger a thought in my head. We'll get there in a second. But basically, it's surrounding us on all sides. And it seems like it's happening all around us, and it's everywhere all at once. I thought it was rather amusing that I think it was last year a movie came out that was Everything Everywhere All at Once. I haven't watched the movie, and I'm going to be blunt. I don't recommend that you watch the movie. Because as I understand it, that movie includes blasphemy. Specifically, blasphemy against the Holy Eucharist. If I'm thinking of the same movie, I could be mistaken. I'm not going to watch the movie. I don't particularly care. But I thought it was very fitting that by pretty much late last year, by the end of last year, it just felt like it was coming in from all sides. We have illegal immigration at the border. We have politicians going, oh, you must get the jab. We have all of these things going on. And they were in the schools teaching sex education in the most pornographic, like 20 years ago, people would have been locked up for putting those books in those schools. Everybody who was around them, everybody who was associated with them, every teacher who taught from them would have been arrested. And yet, it's common in the schools. If you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. It must mean that you're homeschooling your kids. Good on you. Smart move. But it's in the schools, it's in the colleges, it's in the universities, it's in the church. What have we had happen over the last several years? Let's see. Traditionis custodes. Fiducia supplicans, Querida Amazonia, Fratelli Tutti. I mean, it's not Laudato Si, but Laudate Deum. Like, it's coming from the top down all over the place, just in every avenue. We're talking about environmentalism. We're talking about illegal immigration. We're talking about the destruction of the family. We're literally talking about the destruction of the family, because now, supposedly, you can go ahead and get blessings even if you're not actually married, but you're in an depraved sexual relationship situation. And you can just go get blessings. Oh, but it's not matrimony. And what do we got coming out here soon? The Pope's autobiography that reportedly is him saying, yeah, you know, it's no big deal. It's coming from the city governments because, well, you know, the powers that shouldn't be, people with loads and loads of money, are dumping millions and millions of dollars into local elections. It's coming from the counties. Why? Same reason. It's coming from the states. Why? Same reason. It's coming across the federal government. Why? Same reason. Because the people who have no business actually putting their noses in it are dumping loads of money in and managing to grease the wheels to keep us on this downward spiral. And so it's happening at the city, at the state, and at the federal level. It's happening in the church. It's happening in the schools. It's happening in libraries. It's happening at the farm. It's happening everywhere. And it has been happening at an ever-increasing rate for the last 3 years plus. Now, because it's been happening like that, it has also been very interesting to see what else has been happening. Pushback. The ones in the younger generations, the Gen Xers, the Millennials, the Zoomers, Gen Z, and whatever this they're going to call this Gen Alpha, it's looking like from Gen X and later, we're getting a renaissance of Christian traditionalism. Why? How can we tell? Because the FBI is concerned about it. Because the Department of Homeland Security has decided that Christian people are dangerous and we just can't have those Christian people around. Why are they afraid? Because we've had it. Because we're sick of it. Because we're awake to what it is that they're doing. We're alert. We're being vigilant. And we are now pressing back in small ways. And they're getting more harsh, which is going to cause us to press back harder. But the fact is that as things go along, people become ossified in both camps, the devil's camp and in God's camp. But God's camp is actually increasing in number. Not fully. I mean, we're not talking about a sweep of Catholicism across the country. But let's be real. If you'd asked me 3 years ago if there was going to be a movie made by Catholics funded by some Mormon schlep, that was going to be one of the bigger premieres, one of the bigger deals going on in this year, I would have told you, you're out of your mind. I would not have said that one of the more critically acclaimed movies with a 90% on the tomato meter and an audience score of 98% was a movie about a Catholic saint. I would not have guessed that. That legitimately, not on my bingo card whatsoever. But it is proof that the truth is rising, that God is moving, and that people's consciences are in fact being illuminated by the last 3 years of ridiculous darkness. What I've also noticed is that there are some people who seem to be slowly bubbling up out of the woodwork who do seem to be, for the first time in my adult life, finally being exposed for who and what they are. And I'm not talking about Klaus Schwab, although Klaus Schwab is involved. I'm not talking about George Soros, although George Soros has largely been one of the pushers. I'm talking about people we've never heard of. I'm talking about a guy who I'm not going to name who happens to be the rabbi who owns Pornhub. I'm not going to name him because now that I've connected rabbi and Pornhub, you can find him yourself. I'm talking about a rabbi who may or may not be responsible for the death of the king of pop, Michael Jackson, who nobody knew his name, really, but has decided he's going to war with the likes of Candace Owens, who's also quite a nasty little freak. I'm talking about the people who are finally being exposed as being the real people who have been corrupting our society for at least 2.5 generations. Now, I listed two rabbis. They're the most prominent. They're not the sum total. And it's not sum totally in that community. But I'm going to be blunt. Freemasonry was a creation of a bunch of old geezers who decided that they were going to spread some meshuggahna and pour it into the ears of people who would listen so that they would walk away fully from the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. So yes, while they might be white Anglo-Saxon Protestants or Muslims or Jews or whatever, while they might be of a variety of sorts gathered within the Freemasonic crowd, the fact is, those people who have been the sources of specific types of corruption are finally visible. They're finally coming to the surface. And don't get me wrong, you have Bill and Hillary Clinton. You have the Jeffrey Epsteins. You have that level of corruption. You also have the Mark Milleys. And you have the various high-level people in the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, the FBI, and all of the three-letter agencies in the government. But the reason why the three-letter agencies are as bad as they are is because of the cultural corruption. And for the first time in decades, I can look across the culture and I can see the peddlers of filth. And I'm not just talking about pornography, etc., you know, pornography and that particular avenue. I'm talking all of the variations of the peddlers of filth. For the first time, you can actually look across the landscape and you can see them all. And killing them is useless. They are easily replaced. They'll just be new people to fill the shoes. But you can target them now. You can see their empires. And it's more important that we target their empires. We target the soil in which they planted the seed. You salt that earth, and you can destroy them. You can take their influence out of the world. Yes, they'll still be schmucks. Yes, they'll still be here. Yes, they'll still be annoying. But if you salt the earth in which they've planted their seeds, they become powerless. So, for example, you know the guy who is the owner of most of the pornography websites on earth. It's actually a single media conglomerate that owns like 50% of all the pornography sites. There's only a handful of people that run all the porn in the world. And yes, I'm talking about porn. And, you know, some people would be like, well, you know, that's not necessarily, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I will simply respond, every one of those sites victimizes women and children. Every one of those sites, yes, some of it is above board in the law. But I'm going to ask you this question. How many porn stars commit suicide? How many lives are actually destroyed by the production of pornography? Are you going to marry someone with an OnlyFans account? Would you marry a woman with an old OnlyFans account? Would you marry a man with an OnlyFans account? And that sort of puts the pin in the whole thing, doesn't it? OnlyFans destroys lives. Because it destroys families. Because for the people who have the accounts, they're not ever really going to be able to have a family. And for the people who subscribe to the accounts, their families are falling apart. So, ban porn. Arrest these people. Seize their companies, liquidate their businesses, do whatever it is that you have to do. Make it so that they can't do business. Now, that's looking at porn. You're like, oh, sure, this had to... And yes, you're right. The likelihood of that happening is nil. Porn is the single largest entertainment industry on Earth. It eclipses Hollywood in ways that you can't even comprehend. I got it. Oh, hey, by the way, seize their assets? How? The bankers are in league with them. There's not a single bank in all of the world that isn't perfectly happy getting the filthy lucre from pornography. There's not. But that raises the other issue, doesn't it? It was originally understood that there were 12 banks that were part of the Federal Reserve, but as of last count, it appears that maybe there are 19. Interesting. And to know which ones are part of the Federal Reserve, you just have to see the ones that are the largest financial institutions in America. And who run those institutions? Salt the earth. In the case of the banks, it looks like we're not going to have to worry about that too much. Because those idiots have decided that they were going to use the dollar as a weapon, or allow our government to use the dollar as a weapon. And the dollar's not going to be around too much longer. And whatever else they managed to cook up, whatever, is what it is. But do you understand what I mean? In the last few years, particularly the last couple of years, all of these things have begun to float to the surface. Things that we could not see before that we can now see much more clearly. And if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, well, Caleb, I've never heard about any of these things. How is it that you even know this? I got it. Not everybody has time to keep an eye on the battle space. It was literally the point of my starting the podcast, was to look out at the battle space and then chime in where needed so that people could see how everything was connected. That's why I do very little individual sourcing and citing, because you can find all of the information I'm talking about easily enough. And if it happens to be discredited by the New York Times or by Politico or whatever, well, even better. Because the one thing that we all know now that we didn't know 3 years ago is that everything that comes out of a mainstream media outlet is false. And about half of what comes out of independent media is true. Now, it's not because they're lying. But like Pontius Pilate, who asked Christ, what is truth? Some of these people actually just legitimately don't know. And so they just tell you what they see. And they like to interpret it. But truth was a man. Truth was God who became man and walked the earth. Truth once walked the earth amongst us. And only those people who understand that in its fullness are going to be able to look at all of these things and go, yeah, that seems about right. We're going to be able to line it up and get, you know, 70, 80, maybe 90% clarity. And don't get me wrong, I've got disagreements with other people, a lot of trad podcasters, those of us in trad LLC, and you know, the higher-ups in Trad Incorporated and the higher-ups still in Catholic Inc., you know, we don't all see eye to eye on everything, but we've got a pretty broad spectrum of commonality. There's a large swath of things that we hold in common. And it's bigger than if you go to some other site that is trying to find the truth but doesn't want to admit the truth. Like those of our truly separated brethren, the Protestants. And by separated, I mean way separated. So you look at Glenn Beck, who's reporting the facts, and then when he draws the conclusions, you look and you go, how did you get there, boss? Oh, I know how you got there. You got there because you will not let go of the heresy of Americanism. Got it. You got there because you don't follow the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. You're not a part of the faith. You've walked away for a false religion that claims to be Christian, but has no idea what that means. And to my Protestant brethren out there, even those of you who are very, very conservative and in your manner of speech and behavior are almost Catholic, almost, well, we had a saying when I was in Master Gunner school, 99% right is 100% wrong. It's not your fault. It's just you're not going to get there all the way, short of God pouring out some extra graces just for you. Not saying that's impossible. I'm just saying I wouldn't count on it. You maybe just have an easier time coming back to the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Now, all of that description, I hope, is kind of given an overarching view of what it is that I believe the 3 days of darkness was. And I will tell you, point blank, I believe we already went through the 3 days of darkness. I believe that many of us have already had the illumination of conscience. And it's not to say that it's done, but in this prefigurement, that is very likely actually merely on a spiritual level, I do believe that we've gone through that part. And those of us who've figured it out, and I say figured it out, I don't mean that we actually ourselves figured it out, but we surrendered to the graces that God, we surrendered and finally conformed ourselves to the truth and graces that God has been trying to give us for all of this time. For those of us who figured it out like that, you can see very, very clearly today. You look out at the things that are going on in the world, and you can see very, very clearly these things are right, these things are wrong, and you don't. And you also understand that you don't have to draw the exact same conclusions. I do not draw the same conclusions as Kennedy Hall, or Mike Parrott, or the King Dude, Mike Church, or John Henry Weston. I'm looking at a very, very different set of parameters. I think with the exception of Mike Parrott, I'm the only one with heavy warfare, warfighting, and related and the related fields experience. I've spent the last several years refitting what I know on how to maximize death on a large area of people, and refitting it into defensive tactics and strategies that actually fit for spiritual warfare. I understand the nature of psychological operations. I understand the nature of economic warfare. That one took a little doing, because I gotta be honest with you, economic warfare, not my forte, until you get a chance to see what it is the tools actually are and what their analogies, their analogous weapons are in normal conventional warfare. And once you see that, then you go, oh, well, that's easy. This is like heavy artillery, and that's like a nuke, and this is like a rifle, and that's like a knife right in the back at 2 o'clock in the morning against a guard who thought that he was awake enough to keep from getting stabbed in the back. It took some doing, kind of figuring out how all of that worked. And figuring out what the actual corollaries were, especially when you're talking about your mass effect, your casualty effect, and all of those avenues. Or I should say all of those disciplines. TikTok is not a Chinese weapon. It is a weapon against you, being currently wielded by people with lots of money. Twitter has just finally been defenestrated by a guy who's trying to find a way to not have it be a weapon against you. But whether or not Jack Dorsey knew it when Twitter was first stood up, Twitter was a weapon against you. If the service is free, you are the product. And if you are the product, then you are also the battlefield. You are also the cause for which they fight, the lucre they intend to gain. And, to be a bit macabre about it, you are the chattel from whom they're going to get the blood that they'd nourish their vampire selves off of. And as long as you treat media and social media in that manner, you will be able to keep the worst effects away from you. But I will tell you right now that if you're not paying for the service, you're the product, you're the service, you are the filet mignon being fed to the fat cats in big business. I think that should be made clear enough. And when the fat cats have eaten their fill, the table scraps of you go to the politicians. And the only problem is that the fat cats, the big business people, have fed the politicians enough that there's a non-zero chance that they themselves will be consumed by the politicians, and then you will be their chattel, just like the fat cats. Why? Because greed and envy are both domains of the devil, just like pride. Yes, you're going to be consumed by the government. Yes, you're going to be consumed by big business. Yes, you're going to be consumed by all of these things. Why? Because they don't believe in God, they don't fear God, and they will eventually get theirs. The question is, will you keep your soul in the process? Will you be saved in the process? That's the whole point behind the prophecies. The whole point behind the 3 days of darkness was to reveal to you that you needed to change, you needed to repent, you needed to reformulate and reformat how it is that you looked out at the world. You need to look at the cross and realize that it alone is the anchor, that it alone is the single point that will never move. That if you hold on to it, no matter how much the earth may quake, the waves may crash against, the winds may blow, storms, lightnings, fire falling from the sky. But if you're at the cross, if you're at the foot of the cross, holding on to our Lord, next to our Lady, next to all of the angels and all of the saints who are right there, honoring and worshiping and loving God, no matter how bad the storm, no matter how scary the earthquake, and no matter how much fire falls from the sky, you have no reason to fear. Because if the cross is your treasure, You share the glory. You share the reward. Period. Full stop. It doesn't matter how dark the days get, or how many stars fall from the sky. It doesn't matter how many demons are roaming, how many of the princes of the powers of the air happen to be prowling about the world like roaring lions looking for souls to devour. If you're at the foot of the cross, if you are holding on, if you are at confession and at adoration and receiving Holy Communion and praying before the crucifix, praying before the cross of our Lord, guiding your families to the cross, then none of that other crap matters. You will have the candle of the purest beeswax, and you will have the light that you need to get through the 3 days of darkness. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.